And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. Whew. I mean, it goes like from Huntsville back on over to Chattanooga, from Tuscaloosa back on over to Gadsden. I mean, from all the way down to that loveliest little village on the plains that we call Auburn, straight across the border from there to, yeah, what we now get to once again call Fort Benning. Fort Benning. And then big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. And that's just the radio. Then there's our online audience that streams the show with us daily just on the World Wide Web. Go anywhere in the big wide world and you can watch it. So anyway, love y'all. Appreciate the audience. Thank you very much. This is the time. It is Friday afternoon. This is the time where we pause, catch our breath, set aside politics for the moment, and get into a little segment here we call JP on Sports, where JP, who some of y'all may already know, has a sports podcast called Out of Right Field with Right Side. He also did have his own radio show until recently on Saturday mornings, basically off the bench on sports. The guy knows sports left and right. And he's even got his own sound effect, courtesy of a bunch of socialite girls down at Auburn. It's JP on Sports. All right, man.
Did you just call him socialite?
I did. I don't know where that came from. It just came out. All right, we got two rounds. First one's called the three and out. You pick the top three stories you think are out there on the sports world, and then we come back second round. You do the 2 minute warning with a buzzer and a timer on 2 minute timers. Three and out. Go, bud.
So we still got the NBA playoffs going on. We keep advancing through, and we've got more eliminations. So the shocking elimination was the Cavs. They lost in the series 4-1 against the Pacers. The Cavs were the number one seed in the East going into this, and they got manhandled by the Pacers. So it was a big shock, to everybody. But the Pacers, with Tyrese Halliburton in particular, I mean, it's not that they're a bad team, but I think everybody expected the Cavs to put up more a fight than a 4-1 gentleman sweep, what they call it. And then we also had the Warriors eliminated against the Timberwolves, also 4-1. Anthony Edwards on the Timberwolves has been playing amazing this playoffs. Also, Rudy Gobert has been playing awesome too. But if I had to pick a team out of the West, I think is the team to win it all, I would have to say the Timberwolves would be my favorite right now. And yeah, I get the Nuggets. You know, they got to play Game 7 against the Thunder coming up this weekend. But I don't know, the way the Timberwolves are playing and the way they were able to go through the Warriors like that, I think they'd be my pick in the West. But then you also got the Celtics and the Knicks tonight. The Knicks are up 3-2. If I had to pick a team in the East, it would be the Knicks right now. So if I were to tell you my two teams from each side, I'd go Timberwolves, Knicks right now are my favorites to win it all. So
wow,
that's what I would say for right now.
I got to ask you about a term you just used, a gentleman sweep. What is that? Mm-hmm. I never heard that before.
Gentleman sweep. So, like, you know, obviously sweep is when you win all four games.
Yeah.
Gentleman sweep, you let them get a game.
Oh, and okay. So they got one. Yeah. We gave them one.
It's like, all right, you can have
one. We didn't want to beat them up too badly.
Yes, yeah. So
gotcha.
Gentleman fashion, sweep them out. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Just a little bit of bruising.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. That's one. What's two?
All right. So we got the PGA Championship today as well, going on into Sunday. So right now, you know, Max Homa was the story of today. He came out on all cylinders. He shot 7-under, I believe, was his final score for today. Actually, ended up being, 7-under. But right now, the leader right now is Jonathan Vegas, which if I told you I'd heard of him before, I'd be lying. So, but he's been playing great. But then you got Pavon right behind him and Gerard Smalley. But the main story from this, you know, this major championship so far. So I don't know if you ever heard the term mud ball with a golf and golf. If there's mud on a ball, you know, when you hit it, there's no really telling where it's going. I mean, you can have somewhat of an idea or not, but that's so the course got a lot of rain leading up to the major. It has not been raining during the play, but the mud is still on the fairway, and there's a rule apparently of you're not able to fix your lie. You play it where it lies, right?
Right.
And there's been a lot of complaints because, you know, a lot of the top guys like Scheffler, Xander Schauffele, Rory McIlroy have kind of been punished because they've been hitting it down the middle of the fairway, but it's right in the mud from the rain.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And, you know, they're kind of complaining that they're being punished, you know, not being able to get a better lie out of the mud. And there's been a lot of talk, too, about the way the course has made, like with the type of grass it wasn't built to. Bottom line is, it's been a lot of drama. I feel like the top players aren't playing the way that they ship to because of the conditions of the mud balls and such. But Bryson DeChambeau today, he came out and played a lot better than he did yesterday. I think he finished total today 3 under. So he's in striking range to make a run this weekend. That'd be really exciting to see DeChambeau get in the mix there.
Isn't that just like an NFL team complaining for having to play in the Packers open stadium in the snow? It's the same thing. You take the elements as they come. It's part of the game.
I mean, I guess it just sucks when, you know, you're playing in a major championship and you hit it right down the middle of the fairway and get punished for it. I don't think they're complaining that that's not the rule, but I guess they're complaining that shouldn't be the rule. You should, you know, choose a better lie than that. So I don't know, but that Scheffler went to the post-match press conference kind of complaining about that yesterday. So let me say this real quick before we move on. We had a pairing of three of the top players in the world: Scottie Scheffler, Xander Schauffele, and Rory McIlroy. And they all double bogeyed 16 because of mud balls.
Oh, wow.
And it was Scottie Scheffler's first double bogey, I think, in 404 holes. So I think the complaint comes from, you know, obviously if the top three guys in the world all did it, it's probably a problem. So,
and you're not allowed to clean your ball until you completed the hole, correct?
You're only allowed to clean the ball when it's on the green.
Ah.
So you play it where it lies, and it's, you know, I also saw something too of another guy complaining with his ball like halfway in the ground. He couldn't get a better lie, and it's like, what do I do? You know, so I don't know. It's interesting.
Have to play a wedge from sand wedge from in the middle of the fairway.
That's what I love about golf. No one's safe. Yeah, no one's safe.
All right, that's two. What's three?
MLB season still going on strong right now. So big storyline, in this region. I mean, Braves country is pretty much all the Southeast, so a majority of Braves fans listening right now. But we got Ronald Acuna Jr., who will be coming back, the former MVP recovering from ACL injury. He started his rehab assignments this week, and his third at-bat in the rehab assignment, he hit a home run. So I think he might be back to normal, per se. But the Braves also finally got to 500 for the first time this year. I said it last week. I feel like they're getting momentum, and they're about to get Acuna back. Strider about to come back from the aisle as well. Looks like they're starting to get things going at the right time, per se. But then outside of the Braves, we had a crazy walk-off from Fernando Tatis and the Padres earlier this week. And the Padres have been looking like they may be a team to be threatening in the West this year. Obviously, like I said, the Dodgers are going to be the top dog. But if I had to pick a team below the Padres are playing really well right now. So, it's that time of the year. You know, like I said, I don't even look at the standings until Memorial Day. That's kind of a rule, and not a rule, but like people don't really take the standings serious until you start to get to the summer and Memorial Day. So, I would say around the end of this month is when you'll see like a clear playing field of who's where, what teams are going to be threatening, and so we're past the point of just injuries, or whatever. Like where you're at right now is you kind of get an idea of where you're going to be long term. So we're about reaching that point.
You still feeling better about the Braves?
Oh, yeah, I think they'll be fine. I think right now they're third in the NL East. Like I said, I haven't seen the standings, but I think people have mentioned they're around third. And if you've got an 0-7 start and then you're able to get to third without your best player even in the lineup, I think that's a good sign. Hopefully when Acuna comes back, he can start getting things going. This isn't just some lineup guy. It's a former MVP. So I think when they get him back, it will be in a lot better place.
Did you say that he hit a home run on his first at bat or his first game? What'd you say?
His third at bat in his first game back in the rehab assignment. So he's playing in AAA right now, which I always find funny. You know, if you're like a AAA pitcher and you're trying to, get your way up to the majors, and obviously you got a former MVP in a rehab assignment in AAA, that seems kind of unfair in my opinion. But I guess it is what it is.
Is that the baseball version of mudball?
I guess it is. Yeah, you got Acuna coming up as a mudball. None you can do.
All right. We're in overtime. You got about 2 minutes left. So overtime, three and out. What do you got?
Well, we got about 100 days left. I think yesterday was the 100-day mark before college football season. And, there's been a lot of talk about some changes that want to be made. And, I'll talk a little bit more about this in the two-minute warning as well. But I think I mentioned it last week, the Commission on College Sports that Trump has enacted and wanted to put Saban at the head of there.
Is he the head of it?
He's the co-head, so the co-chair. I don't know how many chairs there will be. I haven't even seen how many people are going to be on this commission. But he was actually asked on the Feinbaum show last week about this commission, and apparently Saban doesn't even know what's up with it. So I think it's a little bit too early to try to guess what they're going to do. But I would say I think NIL this season right now, you got a long summer. If we're able to get this commission in the summer and get Trump's ear on things, I would like to see something major happen this offseason with NIL before it gets too out of control. I mean, I know I keep saying that, but I think right now is the time to strike. You know, if we've got a commission and we got this offseason coming up, I think right now is the time to get something done.
It's going to take legislative action, don't you think?
At the very least, executive action. You know, like executive order, because I don't know. We've seen how long it took Congress to get a big, beautiful bill done. You know, yeah. I don't know if I trust them to get something done NIL wise before the season comes around. But I don't know. It's just something's got to be done before this next season. Especially, this is the first season with revenue sharing coming up with players.
Oh my gosh!
I can't remember it off the top of my head, but I think 24% of the revenue they're able to give up to players, the schools are. So now you're in the area of employees instead of student athletes.
They're going to unionize.
Which
next.
Is, yeah, part of why I want something to get done for this season. Because this is going to be a big step in the wrong direction with college football.
That's asking a lot to get that moved by this next season. I mean, 100 days.
I know, but hopefully an executive order can be done and schools can abide by that. But I'd love to see something legislatively be done, but I don't know how much hope I have for that at this point.
I mean, yeah, that's okay. Wow. All right, that's the three and out. That's the first round of JP on sports. Good job, man. We'll come back from that. By the way, I love it when I throw overtime on you and you just keep rolling.
I can find something to talk
about. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. Coming up next, round two, JP on sports. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Just giving you all the truth you can slap on a bumper sticker. That's right. Going back to round number two of JP on sports. Round two is called the two-minute warning. I've got a timer and we got a buzzer. And he's got 2 minutes per topic. Anything in the world sports related? Ready? Go.
So we had some major news out of the baseball world this week. Pete Rose has now been unbanned from going into the MLB Hall of Fame. And also, Shoeless Joe Jackson was unbanned as well. The MLB put out a statement saying something as how now that these players are deceased, they see them as their punishment being fulfilled or something like that, and doesn't see a reason to keep them banned if they're no longer here. But then on the flip side of that is, well, yeah, but you just robbed one of the greatest baseball players of all time from being inducted while he's alive.
Yeah.
Because of your stubbornness or, you know, your inability to change. And this is the problem with MLB and baseball. There's so many people in the Hall of Fame, decision makers. They're so stuck in their old ways, and they won't put in players that should be in because of, you know, stuff like this, like with Pete Rose. I mean, Barry Bonds still isn't in the Hall of Fame, and you could think whatever you want about Barry Bonds, but I mean, he's the home run king of baseball, and they're still unwilling to put him in the Hall of Fame because of suspicions that he was on steroids. It's just ridiculous, in my opinion. Pete Rose was still in that same boat. But hopefully this is a sign for change. I mean, hopefully it doesn't take until people pass away for them to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. But it's such a root problem with these journalists and people that vote into these players in the Hall of Fame. They're stuck in, like, what, 1985 or something, it feels like. They're not able to change with the times.
Who lifted the prohibition? Was it the same people who vote for who gets in, or is there a different board or panel that did the actual lifting of the prohibition? Do you know?
I think it was the commissioner. Rob Manfred is the one who put out the statement, so I don't know if it was exactly him or a commission he was on. But the way that they do it is journalists get approved to be able to vote.
Yeah.
And so it's a widespread. So many people who vote should not be able to vote for a baseball Hall of Fame, in my opinion. And this is another example of it. So thank God it's finally been done, but way far too late. And unfortunately, past Pete Rose being able to be here to live through it.
There's the buzzer. 2 minutes first. Now clear the clock and ready. Next 2 minute, go.
So I talked a little bit about this earlier, but so the Regions Golf Tournament in Birmingham is the yearly annual thing. I don't know if you ever heard of it. It's
sure.
Pretty much everybody from Alabama and the who's who goes to this thing. Saban, Tuberville, Charles Barkley, Riley Green, country singer there too, but also non-Alabama people like John Daly was there this weekend. But there's a lot of Kirby Smart as well was there, and he talked about NIL, where there was a lot of talk about NIL amongst the college football coaches there. And Kirby Smart put out a weird statement that kind of shocked a lot of people. He claimed that we could eventually, within the next year or two, be at a point that schools are having to cut programs with this whole revenue sharing. like cut, like swimming, girls swimming, for example, I'm just saying arbitrary, track and field, you know, whatever, male swimming, whatever, because of this new revenue sharing era that they're in, and that they're worried college football is going to suck up so much money from the school directly, they're not going to be able to afford to have these other programs anymore, which I guess a lot of people didn't realize how quickly that may be happening. He said within the next year or two that could be happening. And Saban, while he was there, well, also talked about the commission, like I mentioned earlier. But Charles Barkley had a funny quote. He said something about how he gives millions of dollars to Auburn every year just because he loves Auburn. But now they want him to fork up more money so that they can be good at sports. And he goes, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. And something like that, which it's just the resentment towards NIL amongst everybody this past weekend. I mean, there were so many quotes and tidbits, but I think the Kirby Smart one was the one that really shook people up. It's like, wow, we really could be at that point that, you know, other programs besides college football could be going away because of revenue sharing.
You can't sustain it. You're giving away because money's fungible. And when you're raising revenues for sports and then you're giving it away, all of a sudden you just took a major hit right off the top. It's a haircut. It's hard to keep pace.
And now the NIL is not coming from collectives, but from the school itself.
Ah, there's the buzzer. All right, reset the clock. We got time. Go for it. 2 minutes.
So the transmania continues in sports. Haji. We've got another transgender athlete in California. A.B. Hernandez is his name. He won the girls' high school track state semifinal and is a transgender. And so my thing is, you know, I feel like we've seen like four or five of these instances happening since Trump's executive order came into place. How in the world are we going to enforce Trump's executive order if people, I mean, I understand it needs to be codified, and unfortunately, you know, Tuberville's bill got shot down. So I don't know. It's, you talk about federal funding being paused. You know, we saw that whole thing with Maine, and it ended up kind of being a win, but not really, just kind of a pause. But what do we got to do to get states to fall in line with this? Because this is just, in my opinion, this is just direct disobeyment. If you're going to continue to allow guys to compete in girls athletes in, you know, high school events, you're just simply disobeying the executive order at that point. And it's just, it's mind boggling, but also just so frustrating that these girls who work so hard to be at that, get to the state semifinal, they got to go up against a dude. And it's like, what can you do?
Is he the one that did a podcast the other day and it was on it and was talking about how proud he was going to stand up for, you know, transgender rights and win the state championship so everyone would know? And I thought that's like making our case for us.
I don't think that was him, but I did see something like that. And it's like, it's just amazing to me. And we saw the USA Fencing testimony where Damien Leffelt, you know, kind of doubled down on his stance that dudes should be allowed to compete in girls' sports. It's just like, there's got to be something that makes them obey and fall in line. And I don't know what it is, but apparently executive orders aren't it because they keep doing it. It's amazing. Maybe cut their federal funding as a whole with these programs like USA Fencing.
And there's 2 minutes. All right. Do you got time? What do you got? What do you
think? We got about 20 seconds.
Well, then tell me all the good things you can in 20 seconds.
Well, I guess a bit big news in the sports world. I guess the UFC had a lot of changes. We got Islam Makhachev, who was left his belt in lightweight, is moving up to 170. We now have Charles Oliveira fighting Ilia Topuria for the vacant lightweight belt. We were waiting to see the result last week of Bilal Muhammad's fight, and he ended up losing. So Islam Makhachev will be going up to welterweight.
I still get the biggest kick out of the fact you can say all their names like that.
Hey, man, that's how you know I'm a real fan.
It's like you're speaking a different language. All right, that's JP on sports. Good job, bud. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Coming right back, we're going to talk about the Great Middle East Tour. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.